My message today is called Paid in Full. Paid in Full. And I've got a reading here for you. Before I do that, I want to read the main scripture for today. It's in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, the first two verses. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, in some translations, that says propitiation. The atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. I want to read a story to you that I happened upon, and I think this is a very good illustration of a few good points about the Christian doctrine. The title of this is called The Price of Donuts. The Price of Donuts. There was a certain professor of religion named Dr. Christensen, who taught at a small college in the western United States. Dr. Christensen taught the required survey course in Christianity at this particular institution. Every student was required to take this course, his or her freshman year, regardless of his or her major. Although Dr. Christensen tried hard to communicate the essence of the gospel in his class, he found that most of his students looked upon the course as nothing but required drudgery. Despite his best efforts, most students refused to take Christianity seriously. This year, Dr. Christensen had a special student named Steve. Steve was only a freshman, but was studying with the intent of going on to seminary for the ministry. Steve was popular, he was well-liked, and he was an imposing physical specimen. He was now the starting center on the school football team, and he was the best student in the professor's class. One day, Dr. Christensen asked Steve to stay after class so he could talk with him. "How many push-ups can you do?" Steve said, "Well, I do about 200 every night." "200? That's pretty good, Steve," Dr. Christensen said. "Do you think you could do 300? Steve replied, "I don't know. I've never done 300 at a time." "Well, do you think you could?" again asked Dr. Christensen. "Well, I can try," said Steve. "Can you do 300 in sets of 10? I have a class project in mind, and I need you to do about 300 push-ups in sets of 10 for this to work. Can you do it?" "I need you to tell me you can do it," said the professor. Steve said, "Well, I think I can. Yeah, I can do it." Dr. Christensen said, "Good. I need you to do this on Friday. Let me explain what I have in mind." Friday came, and Steve got to class early and sat in front of the room. When class started, the professor pulled out a big box of donuts. These weren't the normal kinds of donuts. They were the extra fancy big kind, with cream centers and frosting swirls. Everyone was pretty excited. It was Friday, the last class of the day, and they were going to get an early start on the weekend with a party in Dr. Christensen's class. Dr. Christensen went to the first girl in the first row and asked, "Cynthia, do you want to have one of these donuts?" Cynthia said, "Yes." Dr. Christensen then turned to Steve and asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Cynthia can have a donut?" "Sure." Steve jumped down from his desk to do a quick 10. Then Steve again sat in his desk. Dr. Christensen put a donut on Cynthia's desk. Dr. Christensen then went to Joe, the next person, and asked, "Joe, do you want a donut?" Joe said, "Yes." Dr. Christensen asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Joe could have a donut?" Steve did 10 push-ups and Joe got a donut. And so it went down the first aisle. Steve did 10 push-ups for every person before they got their donut, and down the second aisle, till Dr. Christensen came to Scott. Scott was on the basketball team and in as good a shape as Steve. He was very popular and never lacking for female companionship. When the professor asked Scott, "Do you want a donut?" Scott's reply was, "Well, can I do my own push-ups?" Dr. Christensen said, "No, Steve has to do them." Then Scott said, "Well, I don't want one then." Dr. Christensen shrugged and then turned to Steve and asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Scott can have a donut he doesn't want?" With perfect obedience, Steve started to do 10 push-ups. Scott said, "Hey, I said I didn't want one." Dr. Christensen said, "Look, this is my classroom, my class, my desk, and these are my donuts. Just leave it on the desk if you don't want it." And he put a donut on Scott's desk. Now, by this time, Steve had begun to slow down a little. He just stayed on the floor between sets because it took too much effort to be getting up and down. You could start to see a little perspiration coming out around his brow. Dr. Christensen started down the third row. Now the students were beginning to get a little angry. Dr. Christensen asked Jenny, "Jenny, do you want a donut?" Sternly, Jenny said, "No." Then Dr. Christensen asked Steve, "Steve, would you do 10 more push-ups so Jenny can have a donut that she doesn't want?" Steve did 10, and Jenny got a donut. By now, a growing sense of uneasiness filled the room. The students were beginning to say no, and there were all these uneaten donuts on the desks. Steve also had to really put forth a lot of extra effort to get these push-ups done for each donut. There began to be a small pool of sweat on the floor beneath his face. His arms and brow were beginning to get red because of the physical effort involved. Dr. Christensen started down the fourth row. During his class, however, some students from other classes had wandered in and sat down on the steps along the radiators that ran down the sides of the room. When the professor realized this, he did a quick count and saw that there were now 34 students in the room. He started to worry if Steve would be able to make it. Dr. Christensen went on to the next person, and the next, and the next. Near the end of that row, Steve was really having a rough time. He was taking a lot more time to complete each set. A few moments later, Jason, a recent transfer student, came to the room and was about to come in when all the students yelled in one voice, "No, don't come in, stay out." Jason didn't know what was going on. Steve picked up his head and said, "No, let him come." Professor Christensen said, "You realize that if Jason comes in, you will have to do 10 push-ups for him?" Steve said, "Yes, let him come in. Give him a donut." Dr. Christensen said, "Okay, Steve, I'll let you get Jason's out of the way right now. Jason, do you want a donut?" Jason, new to the room, hardly knew what was going on. "Yes," he said, "give me a donut." "Steve, will you do 10 push-ups so that Jason can have a donut?" Steve did 10 push-ups very slowly and with great effort. Jason, bewildered, was handed a donut and sat down. Dr. Christensen finished the fourth row, then started on those visitors seated by the heaters. Steve's arms were now shaking with each push-up in a struggle to lift himself against the force of gravity. Sweat was profusely dropping off of his face, and by this time, there was no sound except his heavy breathing. There was not a dry eye in the room. The very last two students in the room were two young women, both cheerleaders and very popular. Dr. Christensen went to Linda, the second to last, and asked Linda, "Do you want a donut?" Linda said very sadly, "No, thank you." Professor Christensen quietly asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Linda can have a donut she doesn't want?" Grunting from the effort, Steve did 10 very slow push-ups for Linda. Then Dr. Christensen turned to the last girl, Susan. "Susan, do you want a donut?" Susan, with tears flowing down her face, began to cry. "Dr. Christensen, why can't I help him?" Dr. Christensen, with tears of his own, said, "No, Steve has to do it alone. I have given him this task, and he is in charge of seeing that everyone has an opportunity for a donut, whether they want it or not." When I decided to have a party this last day of class, I looked at my grade book. Steve is the only student with a perfect grade. Everyone else has failed a test, skipped class, or offered me inferior work. Steve told me that when a player messes up in football practice, he must do push-ups. I told Steve that none of you could come to my party unless he paid the price by doing your push-ups. He and I made a deal for your sakes. Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Susan can have a donut? As Steve very slowly finished his last push-up, with the understanding that he had accomplished all that was required of him, having done 350 push-ups, his arms buckled beneath him and he fell to the floor. Dr. Christensen turned to the room and said, "And so it was that our Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross, pled to the Father, 'Into thy hands I commend my spirit.' With the understanding that he had done everything that was required of him, he yielded up his life. And like some of those in this room, many of us leave the gift on the desk, uneaten." Two students helped Steve up off the floor into a seat, physically exhausted but wearing a thin smile. "Well done, good and faithful servant," said the professor, adding, "Not all sermons are preached in words." Turning to his class, the professor said, "My wish is that you might understand and fully comprehend all the riches of grace and mercy that have been given to you through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for us all, now and forever. Whether or not we choose to accept his gift to us, the price has been paid. Wouldn't you be foolish and ungrateful to leave it laying on the desk?" In this story, obviously, Dr. Christensen would represent God the Father, and Steve would represent Jesus. The donuts represent the gift of salvation, and the students represent the world of lost souls. We see people of the world accepting the gift, and we see some rejecting it. Now, the point of the story is to show the tragic reality that many people reject a salvation that's been paid in full and that's been provided to them. But there was another really good point that was made also. That one student that wanted to do his own push-ups. In effect, he wanted to take his place. But he wasn't chosen to do that because he did not qualify. This is why salvation by works fails every time. But Jesus said, "There is no one good, no, not one." Luke 18:19 says that. And he also says in Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So this student couldn't do his own push-ups. Again, he did not qualify. You cannot save yourself. You cannot save yourself. Although many today believe that you can. Now, just like any illustration, any analogy, usually there's something in there that can break down. This is not a perfect analogy, but the very few are. You see, many students rejected the gift because they didn't want to see Steve in any more anguish. However, I've never heard of anyone rejecting the gift of salvation because they didn't want Jesus to have to suffer for their sins. I've never heard that excuse. Those people that don't want to be saved don't care one way or the other. There are three main reasons for rejecting the gift: works, pride, and unbelief. Works, pride, and unbelief. Works. "I don't need your salvation because I can earn a place in heaven due to my good deeds." Isaiah 64:6 tells us that our righteous acts are like filthy rags offered to a holy God. And then there's pride. "I don't need your salvation because I haven't done anything wrong, at least nothing warranting eternal punishment. This is my lifestyle. This is who I am. Accept me the way I am." Pride. God hates pride. And then the third one is unbelief. Unbelief. A misconception of who God is. They don't believe that he died for them. And then there's atheism. Those people do not believe in the existence of God. They don't believe in a human soul. They don't believe in anything supernatural. Unbelief. So we have works, we have pride, we have unbelief that keep them from accepting the gift of salvation. But there's also actually a fourth type. Ignorance. And I don't mean that they don't have the mental capacity. I mean they just don't have the knowledge. These are those who believe there's a God. They know they're not perfect. They're not going to argue with you when you tell them that they have sin in their lives. But they're simply ignorant of the plan of salvation. Just like this fellow that Joyce witnessed to this past week. He didn't know. Maybe they weren't taken to church as a child. Maybe they've never been to a church service. Or maybe even though they went, the church never talked to them about getting saved, which was his case. These kind of people readily accept Jesus as Savior just as soon as they're made to understand the plan of salvation. It is just so simple and they get it. Yes, that's what I want. I'm sure that's what she was able to experience with this fellow. Yes, that's what I want. That makes sense. You know, just a few years ago when Twinkleberries, the coffee and donut shop here, when they first opened up, I went in there the very first day and I told them who I was. I said, see that church over there? I said, yeah. I said, that's the church I pastor. I said, see those windows right there? I said, yeah. I said, those windows are my office windows. Okay. I said, I want you to build a conveyor belt. Run it right through those windows and keep them coming. They're still working on it. I don't know. They still haven't got it done quite yet. But when I saw this story about the donuts, I'll never look at a donut the same way again. At what they represented. And the story of this Dr. Christensen and then the story of Steve. And he really had the right attitude. But you know, our key verse for today said that Jesus died not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Almost 7.5 billion now people on the earth. And I see these videos of atheists talking and complaining. I can't believe in a God that would send people to hell, these really good people. Well, Jesus said there's no good, no, not one. And we go there by default. We are the children of Adam and Eve. We have a sin nature. We go there by default. We're condemned already, it says in John 3:18. We're already condemned. God is the one that gave us the way out. He's the one that built the bridge and says, you don't have to go there. He doesn't send us. He provides us with an escape to a place that we are determined to go and that we will go. Unless we accept the gift. He offers the gift to everyone because he paid for everyone. Just like that professor paid for all those donuts. I just pray that the Holy Spirit will give us the wisdom and the courage to tell people this. It's so simple. It's so simple. God doesn't send us there. We're on the way there on our own. We deserve it. He is the one that gives us the way out. He is the one that makes the difference. Let's pray. Dear Lord, help us to understand the great sacrificial death of your Son. Help us to understand he paid in full. When he said it's finished, he didn't leave anybody out. He didn't have any filters. He didn't care about gender or skin color or financial status. He didn't care about that. He paid for them all. He didn't care what we've done. He paid for it all. It's such a simple message. Help us to be able to get the message out. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll stand as we sing our closing hymn, the altar is always open. Page 435. In your hymnals. What a friend we have in Jesus. You can't have a better friend.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear.
Salvation. If you have any doubts whatsoever, or just listening to that story today really touched your heart, the altar is always open, and I'm always here. There are other Christians here that you can talk to. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy to just come to us or come to me and say, look, I really need to talk to you. There's some things I want to talk. Maybe it's about a friend. Maybe it's about a family member that you want to witness to so badly, but you're not sure how to do it. Come to one of us and ask us. Joyce, would you please dismiss us?
Yes, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this message we have this morning, Lord Jesus. Father, we put all of our faith in